We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast is presented by Segra. Segra, powering organizations of all sizes with state-of-the-art voice, data, and internet services. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
And it's another edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Thanks, everyone, for joining us wherever you might be listening. Be sure to give us a like, give us 5 stars, give us a recommendation, maybe leave a comment or two if you'd like here as we are trying to get the podcast to climb the ladder here. It's been doing great so far. We appreciate all who have tuned in here on the Mountaineer Insider. And as always, thanks to our presenting sponsor, our friends at Segra. Dan Zangrilli in the air chair, and today what I want to discuss and cover is the importance of season tickets. We have just a few days before the June 1 deadline, which has been extended. A lot of folks listening out there are season ticket holders. Thank you. And it's really important to be a season ticket holder right now, perhaps more important than any other time in the history of what we now know as modern collegiate athletics, because of everything going on with COVID-19 and the moving target that is fans and stands and how football is going to be played this fall. I think that we've been able to get past the objection that college football will be played this year. I think that we are, as we sit here, in a pretty confident spot, assuming that there are no re-spikes or big outbreaks of COVID-19, that the country as a whole has worked very hard to get this thing under control. And what that has allowed to do, it has allowed things to get back underway. I'm sure you've seen the headlines for June 15th. We're going to get voluntary workouts for football back up and running. And then before too long, it's going to be the other fall sports, winters, spring sports. They're going to get going July 15th. That was last week's headline. We ended Friday, May 22nd, with just that great news that we all anticipated coming down the pike and that moratorium was lifted. Well, now, as we start to get this thing slowly back up and running, we're thinking about, okay, what's next? How do we get college football back up and running? What configuration of football does it look like? We had Matt Wells on the podcast last week. He's the Senior Associate Athletic Director of External Affairs, and we got into season tickets, and that got me thinking, this is really important to put this out there so folks know not only in the importance of what season tickets mean to the athletic department, and if you are in a position to go ahead and purchase season tickets as opposed to single game tickets, you want to do that for a variety of reasons. To help the athletic department, because right now, as we all know, and I'm sure you've kept you've been kept abreast of the headlines and you're reading on your own, every athletic department in some way, shape, or form is starving out there. They are on some very, very tough times, relatively speaking. Furloughs, pay cuts across the board, and in the extreme circumstances, we've seen sports being cut, and no Mountaineer wants that last scenario to occur. So we're going to have Shane Lyons on the podcast, and I figured in this edition, let's go ahead and take a deep dive. Where does the season ticket money go? How does it help an athletic department? A lot of folks, well, they buy season tickets because of what it can do for them. And that's understandable. That's why we buy a lot of products, right? What can it do for us? We purchase something because we expect this certain outcome. A lot of people will buy products because they know where the money is going behind the product. And when we purchase, we are convicted in what we purchase. So if you're a season ticket holder, you have a number of reasons for purchasing. And that's obviously your prerogative. That's your business. But a lot of folks, they'll just say, well, I'm going to go to every game, but I'm just going to buy my tickets from, you know, a aftermarket ticket marketplace, or I'm just going to buy individual tickets because that's always the way that I've done it, and there's really no rhyme or reason as to why I've never bought season tickets. So hopefully this podcast will actually help get you off the edge or on the fence if you're there. And for those that have purchased season tickets in the past but stopped for whatever reason or are on the fence about this, I wanted to take a deep dive with Director Lyons about A, where the money goes, and B, the importance of season tickets. And then thirdly, what we're going to get into is a news article from the Ames Tribune that made a lot of headway here, and I think understandably so, about Jack Trice Stadium, what the Cyclones are doing out there in Ames. They're trying to, at least according to Athletic Director Jamie Pollard, get Jack Trice Stadium, which is essentially an exact blueprint of Mountaineer Field. They were built around the same time, constructed by the same architect. I'm not sure if you knew that. They want to get that thing to 50% capacity, which, as we sit here at this juncture, is a pretty ambitious goal. To be at 50% and 30,000 people, that's a lot of people in a public gathering, considering where the climate is right now. It almost seems like a pipe dream. But hey, you got to set a goal to reach that goal, and you have to set a high one, and it gives us something with 80-some-odd days remaining before we kick a football to get this thing in what would be a pretty good spot. I think a lot of folks would actually sign right now on the dotted line for 30,000 fans in stands. Nevertheless, so that 30,000 number, that is a treacherous number for those that are on that fence, single game ticket buyers. Well, I usually like to wait things out till the 23rd and a half hour to get my tickets, on especially an aftermarket vendor. That's probably not the way that you want to go if you want to see Mountaineer football this year. And that's not to hold anybody hostage. That's not to try to sell here before the June 1 deadline. This podcast is essentially to educate folks on the importance of season tickets for an athletic department during a pandemic, and also how you can get yours, how you can not be on the outside looking in. That's important. And if it sounds too salesy, I certainly apologize. That's not my intent here. Education is important. The how and the why is important, and that's what this podcast is intended to do. Why exactly do you need to purchase season tickets in this climate if you're able to? I'm not going to tell you to spend money that you don't have or tell you what you want to do with your money. I'm just telling you that if you are a Mountaineer football fan and you do not want to be on the outside looking in, you should go ahead and take a listen to what Director of Athletics Shane Lyons says. And if I could steer you to an article about Jack Trice Stadium, just give it a quick Google. The Ames Tribune, Randy Peterson from the Des Moines Register does a great job. He covers the Cyclones, and Iowa State has done a pretty good job, I think, leading in this pandemic. But in that article, okay, quite frankly, here's the meat and potatoes of it. The only way to watch Iowa State games this year is to purchase a season ticket. That is a direct quote from Jamie Pollard, the Iowa State Athletic Director. 50% capacity of the stadium is season ticket sales. That 30,000 number, that ambitious goal of getting 30,000 people inside a stadium, is essentially season ticket holders and really no more. And as Shane is going to lay out here, West Virginia's numbers are very, very similar. WVU and ISU, a lot of folks consider us kind of the rivals of one another in the Big 12 Conference, not only just because of the geographic proximity, but I think we've all sort of taken a liking to one another, Cyclones and Mountaineers, because we can relate to one another. Our towns are similarly sized, our fan bases are equally as passionate, and I mentioned a moment ago how our stadiums are sort of an exact replica of one another. We are very similar in that respect as far as how we act, how we support our football team, and the way we go about our business, even from a socioeconomic perspective as it pertains to matching athletic department against athletic department. So when you look at what Jamie Pollard is saying, 30,000 seats that are going to be made available here, the ambitious goal of getting people inside that stadium, that essentially limits it to season ticket holders. So if you want to see the ears, you've basically got to be a season ticket holder. And if you have objections to that, if you have concerns about that, the what if this, what if that, how about if this happens, I think Shane does a pretty good job of breaking it all down for you in this edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. We will also get into some of the other stuff that's going on right now, and that is the June 15 return to activity deadline, that day. So are we prepared? How does that look? And Shane is obviously in a position right now to lead not only West Virginia University Athletics, but all of college football. And I asked him, as I did Gordon Gee last week on the podcast, how fortunate are we? How much of an opportunity does West Virginia have to lead here? You've got one of the most venerable presidents in the country, leading institutions, who is so widely respected. And every time that he speaks, essentially everybody drops what they're doing. And these are fellow university presidents and chancellors, etc. They listen to what he has to say almost as if it is gospel. Well, you have the athletic director at the university also chairing the football steering committee. That position, that chair, has probably never had more responsibility associated to it than ever before. What is Shane's schedule like? How is he being able to lead the football steering committee, which largely shapes what's going on and what's going to happen here, and also West Virginia University? Our interests, folks, are well represented, and I think we should be thankful for that. We also should be thankful for the Big 12. Is it me? And maybe I'm looking at this from a biased lens here. This seems to be a unified conference, and I haven't seen anybody sort of get out of their lane or object to anything publicly or go rogue. Bowlesby, can we all agree, has done a terrific job as a conference commissioner. Not many conference commissioners are well-liked and revered or pro-sports commissioners at this given time. But as far as Bob Bowlesby is concerned, I think if we were to take some sort of Rasmussen poll here, his approval rating would be in a pretty good spot. And I asked Shane about his relationship with other athletic directors around the league, because quite frankly, we were a little tardy taping this interview because Shane, he had bigger fish to fry. Quite frankly, he was on the other line with, well, you guessed it, another Big 12 athletic director. Everybody seems to be pulling on the same rope, and I think that that has the Big 12 conference maybe a little bit further ahead than it does some of the other conferences. You've seen some stuff come out of the Big 10, and what is the Pac-12 going to do, the ACC? There's been sort of conflicting philosophies, but it looks like everybody in the Big 12 conference, as it pertains to athletic directors, they're all pulling on the same rope. So we cover a ton of ground here with Shane Lyons, from the importance to season tickets, to everything going on in Ames, to June 15th return to activity, to, again, West Virginia's role in leading not only West Virginia University, but the entire country and setting the tone. It's one of the better ones I think we've done, folks, and I hope you enjoy it. Stay with us. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast is brought to you by Segra.
Lumos Networks is now Segra. Segra is proud to support the West Virginia Mountaineers, and we're proud to be investing in the future of Mountaineer Nation. Segra is one of the largest independent fiber bandwidth companies in the U.S. Our new dense fiber network provides the solutions, speed, diversity, scalability, and reliability West Virginia, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Southeast have been asking and waiting for. All across our footprint, Segra is providing customers with local attention and the fastest, most reliable fiber network in the region. Call 833-GO-SEGRA or visit www.segra.com to learn more. We are Segra. Let's go, Mountaineers!
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat made-to-order food that's hot and meaty like a meal. You want Penn Station East Coast subs. This is the food you daydream about. Grilled steak and onions covered in melty cheese with baked bready goodness and fresh-cut fries. See it with your mind's eye and smell it with your mind's nose. It's what dinner and lunch were meant to be. Answer your craving with something truly mind-blowingly delicious. Penn Station, hot, meaty goodness.
Welcome back to the Mountaineer Insider Podcast, all brought to you by our friends at Segra. Sit down with Athletic Director Shane Lyons.
Well, Shane, thanks so much for the time. What I wanted to get into today, with the season ticket deadline here fast approaching June 1st, the importance of season tickets. A lot of folks have heard that it's essentially the lifeblood of any athletic department, but I wanted to maybe understand a little bit more how and why that is the case. Where does that money go, and why is season ticket money different and maybe more important than, say, single ticket money or clearly third market ticket revenue?
Yeah, it's a great question, Dan. I mean, if you really look at our revenue lines, you know, with an athletic department, I don't think West Virginia is any different than any other institution. Is, you know, your biggest revenue line obviously is coming from the conference distribution. The second largest, you know, line is then coming from ticket sales, both in football and basketball. And, you know, season tickets are very important, one, because they are tied to, you know, a donor gift aspect of it. And you know that those tickets are actually sold, you know, going into the season, and, you know, what your capacity as a stadium or a coliseum is going to look like. And so, you know, it gives us a better read as a financial picture as we move through this to say this is what it's going to look like. You know, here at West Virginia, you know, our ticket sales account in football specifically is about $15 million. And combined with men's basketball, you're probably looking at $16 to $18 million. And then you tie that, Dan, to the Mountaineer Athletics Club and the donations, and that's another, you know, tie-in, about $15 million. So, you know, it's a huge chunk. As I mentioned earlier, it's the second biggest revenue line that we have, and it's important to sustain, you know, the financial stability of our department as a whole.
And perhaps more important than ever before, right, Shane?
It is, and, you know, as we go into this and, you know, our model here, Dan, and people look at it, and sometimes it's puzzling to people. But, you know, you look at, I have two sports. I have football and men's basketball that are, you know, our revenue-generating sports. I have 16 other sports that are not. They're Olympic sports that do not generate, you know, any revenue whatsoever. So, you know, the ticket sales, the donations that go into that obviously help fund those other sports. They fund scholarships. They fund operating expenses, you know, for those sports. So, you know, that's the operation of a department as a whole. I think you're seeing this around the country as we speak. You know, the number of schools here in the last week or so, and I think you're going to see more in the coming weeks, that are actually cutting sports. One, because they don't have the revenue, and, you know, that's why it's important you talk about, you know, ticket sales and donations of, you know, how we operate as a department. And, you know, the last thing an athletic director, you know, wants to do is you know, cut sports and take away opportunities from young men and young women.
Shane, as it pertains to season tickets and the very strong likelihood or possibility, maybe is a better choice of words, that we'll be playing football this fall, but it will be at a reduced capacity. We have seen over the last couple of days Iowa State be as aggressive as saying, well, we want to get 30,000 fans at Jack Trice Stadium. That's essentially 50% capacity. Is that feasible here in Morgantown? Is that the goal? Are you there yet as far as trying to put a number on what maybe a reduced capacity type of football season could look like?
You know, we're not there yet totally, Dan. It's a great question. Obviously, there's a lot of questions, a lot of unanswered questions as we go through this. I think it's too early to determine here in Morgantown. You know, have we had these conversations? Yes. April Messerly, who runs my event management staff, is obviously working on this daily. We don't know what that number. I mean, hopefully we're 60,000. But realistically, I don't think we're going to be there. So we have different models that's going out. I think the important part is the season ticket holders is, you know, those who purchase it, they're going to have the first priority. So if we're at a 50% capacity, like you mentioned, at Iowa State, you know, that first go of people that's going to be allowed in the stadium are those who are season ticket holders. We're going to take care of those first, along with our students that would get to that capacity first. So you talk about the importance of buying tickets. You know, it is about also, you know, having that priority. If we don't get to the point of having, you know, game by game sales, so having that season ticket is I don't want to say necessarily going to guarantee it. I hope it's going to guarantee, you know, the people to get in the stadium. I'm hoping, you know, for more than 50%. But, you know, as this thing continues to evolve as a pandemic, you know, we don't know what it's going to look like in September. Do I feel like we're going to be playing football? The answer is yes. I think it's still too early to determine what the capacity of the stadium is going to look like, Dan.
Well, let me ask you this. What would the capacity need to be, Shane, for a single-game ticket buyer to have access inside to Mountaineer Field? Do you have those metrics? So, for instance, essentially at the 30,000 number at Iowa State, Jamie Pollard, your counterpart, the ISU athletic director, said the only way to watch an Iowa State game is to purchase a season ticket, and that's with his aggressive 30,000-seat capacity. Essentially, what would ours be? In other words, again, to have access to a single game ticket, we would need to be at X number from a capacity standpoint.
Yeah, I think it's very similar, Dan. To, you know, Iowa State, our stadiums, you know, are very similar. You know, a lot of similarities between us and Iowa State. So if you look at us in the past, and again, our deadline is approaching here on June 1st. And so we've been kind of monitoring that. But if we're in the neighborhood of where we've been in the past with season tickets, you know, you're looking, you know, season tickets in the past have been around 26,000 season tickets. Then you add, you know, that's not counting students. So then you add the students in there, and let's just say you cut them in half as well, which they normally get about 12,000 tickets. So you're right at that 30,000 mark if it's at the 50% capacity. So that's where it's important, you know, to be able to know that you're going to have access, you know, into the stadium is those season ticket holders that have purchased in the past to be able to do the same. And I think, Dan, that the question that we've gotten a lot here is, well, what if I purchase season tickets and the season doesn't happen, or there's limited games or whatever it may be? You know, we'll have, like we've done with other sports in these type of situations, of a refund policy in there. So if it's a question of, well, I buy it, not sure if it's going to be a season or not, you know, I would err on the side of buying my season ticket to have it. And then if there isn't a season for some reason, which I'm not sure that's not going to happen, then you know, we'll work on that as we go down that road.
Yeah, a goodwill insurance policy, if you will, that you can essentially, in good faith, assure the fans, correct?
That's what we want to do is, you know, ensure the fans that, you know, the season's not going to happen. You know, that season ticket money that you spent is going to be gone. That would never be our intention. You know, I think we ran through that, you know, last year with the Big 12 tournament. You know, we refunded those who bought tickets to the men's basketball championship out in Kansas City and, you know, refunded those, and those who purchased baseball tickets. And obviously we had to cancel that season in the spring. So, you know, football and other sports coming up here is not going to be any different. If for some reason it doesn't happen, we would set up a refund policy to make sure that the fans, you know, get their refunds.
So, I mean, suffice it to say, Shane, that being a season ticket holder or purchasing season tickets has probably never carried as much weight or held as much water than it ever has it at any time in history. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate, Dan. I mean, it's pretty much, unless there's some crazy thing that happens, it's going to guarantee you access into the stadium, where if you don't have season tickets, it may be a season that you may not be able to see Mountaineer football. And, you know, and I think you said it, the bigger it's, you know, those who purchased season tickets in the past, how important it is to the department, you know, for the other sports and, you know, from the overall budget to be able to maintain what we're doing, to support the other programs and scholarships and operating budgets of the Olympic sports who don't generate any revenue as well. And what that means to the department, you know, for our 16 other sports is something that's very key.
Shane, I want to shift gears here now. I'm curious as to how much weight West Virginia is able to throw around and how big our voices are throughout this process. And I'm not asking you to brag or anything along those lines, but I was talking to Dr. Gee on and off the record last week, and you know, I was thinking as I watch how everything is unfolding before us, here at West Virginia, we're pretty fortunate to have, obviously, a university president with the breadth of experience of Dr. Gee, whose voice carries weight in a meeting room or on a conference call. And with you chairing the Football Oversight Committee, obviously your voice does much of the same. And I know you're going to try to stay humble in answering this question, but West Virginia really has been and is in a position to lead here throughout this pandemic and has a big say in what happens, do we not?
Yeah, we do, Dan. I mean, you're right. I mean, I'm going to be humble about it. You know, it's an honor and a privilege to, you know, serve as the representative of and chair of the football oversight, you know, through the Big 12 Conference. So, you know, not only am I carrying the voice of the conference, but also the voice of West Virginia in many cases, you know, to those meetings and, you know, being able to be in that room or now Zoom calls and Teams calls. It's not in the room anymore. And to be able to work, you know, nationally, you know, with other individuals on that committee to, you know, really lay the groundwork for what football is going to look like, when it's going to start, you know, making some of those tough decisions as we go down this as this path, you know, it's something that's taken a lot of time and effort, but, you know, hopefully it's rewarding at the end that it all works out. And, you know, I think it's, you know, we're looking at how do we start, how do we do it safely, you know, what's in the best interest of our fans, our student athletes, our coaching staff. But the important part is, you know, making sure that we get a complete season in as well, and how do we do that from start to finish.
Shane, how much of your week, how much of your day is consumed being the chair of the Football Oversight Committee? I would imagine that this seat that you have has never had more responsibility attached to it.
Yeah, it does take up a lot of time, Dan. I mean, if I look at it, you know, meeting-wise, obviously, without a pandemic, you're meeting about four times a year in probably a full-day meeting. It's really two half-day meetings. Right now, we're meeting weekly, anywhere from 90 minutes to 2 hours on a call. Then I meet about an hour with the staff, you know, for prep calls before the meeting even begins. Then you also have the administrative committee, the executive committee of the full group, which will meet, you know, once or twice, you know, in a given week or every couple weeks. So, I mean, there's a lot of hours that go into that, along with, you know, I'm on the NCAA council, which the football oversight reports to the council. And, you know, that has now almost have monthly calls, which are usually 2 or 3 hour calls. So, you know, there's a lot of time and energy being devoted to that, in addition to the work I have to do here on campus. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I hope it's rewarding at the end.
So, Shane, speaking of rewarding, or at least just small victories, good news, things that we're sort of searching for and grasping for, we're getting there, obviously, with June 15th right around the corner, to be able to return to activity, voluntary workouts. That's going to be here before you know it. And what a victory and a feel good that is, that news coming down on Friday, May 22nd. But my question to you is, how prepared are we here at West Virginia to be ready to go right out of the chute once June 15 comes around?
You know, I think we'll be really prepared, Dan. And again, it's going back to what I just said earlier. It's about, you know, it's how we finish, not how we start. And, you know, I think we are looking at a phased-in approach here. The conference as a whole looked at a phased-in approach of allowing football student-athletes to return on June 15th. July 1 would be our fall sports, and then July 15th would be all other sports at that time. And, you know, it's there because it's just not flipping the switch and having everybody back, every student-athlete back on campus. So there's a lot of logistics to go into this, of testing, working with our medical experts, and what we have to do as a department. You know, the sanitizing after those individuals work out, you know, how that's handled, and in the spacing in the weight rooms. So it's just not a matter of, hey, you know, June 15th, let's just invite everybody back. There's a lot of, you know, work that has gone into the planning and making it, again, going back to the statement of managing the risk and how are we going to manage that and work through this, you know, to keep our student athletes, you know, as safe as possible. You know, their return, you know, back to campus of, you know, quarantine for several days before they're allowed back in the weight room. They're going to be tested before they're about allowed back in the weight room. There's going to be everyday testing from temperatures and other forms that have to be filled out each day. So it's just not a matter of come back to campus and everything's going to be back to normal. There's going to be a new way where we're going to have to do things for the health and safety of our student-athletes.
And of all of those logistics, Shane, which ones are you most curious about to see how they're going to unfold? Or maybe the better way of asking it is, what are you most concerned about from a logistics standpoint of everything that you just mentioned come June 15th to see how it does get off the ground?
Well, I think as anybody, probably my biggest concern, Dan, is if, you know, we return to this and we have a student athlete who does end up testing positive. You know, what does that mean? You know, what the contact tracing and going back and, you know, the continued testing and the quarantine and, you know, what does all that look like? You know, if you really listen to the medical experts and you know, I guess to answer the question more broadly is I'm not as concerned if they were just coming back and being in our weight room only. The problem is that they're going to leave, you know, our facilities after working out for a couple hours, and then they're going to go back out into the community. And I think the big thing that we have to talk to our student-athletes, Dan, in returning is, you know, educating them on this, you know, the virus and the pandemic as a whole, and again, the social distancing and not going out at night, hanging out with all your friends and going to High Street or wherever they want to go out is, you know, being responsible, you know, from a health and safety, you know, standpoint as well. So it's just, you know, again, you worry about what if somebody tests positive. What's the next step and what that's going to look like.
Well, Shane, as we bring things to a close here and what has been a very informative and comprehensive interview, I thank you for the time. One thing that I think I've noticed, and maybe I'm looking at this from a bias point of view here, being entrenched in the Big 12, but the conference as a whole, maybe relative to the other four Power Five conferences out there, Shane, all the ADs and the messaging and the leadership with Commissioner Bowlesby, it all seems to be on point. Everybody seems to be unified, and there are no conflicting messages with one athletic director essentially going rogue and coming out with a different opinion or a different philosophy. Everybody seems to be on the same page.
You know, I'm glad you bring that up, and, you know, the optics of that is very positive, Dan, and, you know, it is. And, you know, we get the question a lot of our relationship, you know, to the Big 12 being the, you know, the geographical outlier in the conference. And I've said from day one that, you know, we may be geographically a little bit more of a disadvantage from the Midwest, but there's a lot of commonalities, you know, between West Virginia and the other nine schools in the Big 12 conference. And I can tell you through the last 2.5 months, those commonalities have really shined bright. You know, there's a great group of athletic directors, same thing with the CEOs, that's making some very, very, very tough decisions. And, you know, it's on the basis of we're meeting on a weekly, sometimes twice a week, on an hour to 90-minute Zoom calls and talking about the issues, you know, working through those. In some instances, we may not all agree, but we work through it as a league, and then ultimately we stack hands and make a decision that we all come out in a unified approach. So it's been... You know, in every crisis, there's a little bit of a silver lining, and that's been a little bit of a silver lining to see everybody working together within the conference and not having a lot of arguing amongst each other. So there's a lot of positive has come out of this as well, Dan.
Well, Shane, as we continue on, it looks like each day is bringing more and more positive news as we put one foot in front of the other. And June 15th will be here before you know it. And at that point, hopefully this thing really starts to snowball in a positive direction. And before too long, we'll be at Mountaineer Field in whatever configuration that looks like. Nonetheless, I think we'll take anything that we can get.
We will. You know, and you're right, Dan. It's been, you know, some news, good news coming out of this. We're you know, kind of, I call it on the linear approach. You know, we're taking one step, you know, at a time, one foot in front of the other. But, you know, as I mentioned, even early on, I thought we were going to have football come September 5th. I still feel very strongly about that. It's just, you know, we're about 80 days into this pandemic since it all started. There's roughly another 80, 90 something days till the first football game. So we still have a lot of information that we can learn in that time period, but very optimistic that we're getting back to sports. It may look a little different from a capacity standpoint. Hopefully not, you never know, but it may. But the good thing is we're on the track to come back for some fall sports and start competing again.
Good stuff from Athletic Director Shane Lyons. Coming up next, I'll give you my final thoughts here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat made-to-order food that's hot and meaty like a meal. You want Penn Station East Coast subs. This is the food you daydream about. Grilled steak and onions covered in melty cheese with baked bready goodness and fresh-cut fries. See it with your mind's eye and smell it with your mind's nose. It's what dinner and lunch were meant to be. Answer your craving with something truly mind-blowingly delicious. Penn Station, hot, meaty goodness.
Trust the climb. West Virginia football is on the rise under Coach Neil Brown.
Ellinger pressure, Stills got him down. He sacked him. Darius Stills sacks Sam Ellinger.
Join us as we do battle against the Big 12 at Mountaineer Field and Milan Pushkar Stadium.
Deep downfield has a wide open receiver. The ball is caught into the end zone. Touchdown!
Season tickets for the 2020 season are on sale now at WVUGame.com or by calling 1-800-WVUGAME.
Join the climb today.
So what did we learn here? I think we learned quite a bit, as a matter of fact. We learned the importance of season tickets. We learned that the numbers are going to be very, very similar to that of Iowa State. Going back to that Ames Tribune article from earlier in the week, that's an important number, folks. So you want to be in position here to have a shot to see West Virginia football. So June 1 is really important. 1-800-WVU-GAME, WVUGAME.com. It sounds like that there's also an insurance policy here for you, a good faith insurance policy from the director of athletics, his lips to your ears. So if you had any reservations or questions about season tickets and maybe, you know, making what is honestly a very big investment here, you want to have some assurances for the what if, because so much is unknown, and that's understandable. I think we've addressed that as well. So stay with us. We'll close it out when we return here on the Mountaineer Insider.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat made-to-order food that's hot and meaty like a meal. You want Penn Station East Coast subs. This is the food you daydream about. Grilled steak and onions covered in melty cheese with baked bready goodness and fresh-cut fries. See it with your mind's eye and smell it with your mind's nose. It's what dinner and lunch were meant to be. Answer your craving with something truly mind-blowingly delicious. Penn Station, hot, meaty goodness.
All right, we're looking forward to this return to activity and any news items that surface as a result, any storylines as we kind of figure out and watch and learn with the rest of you, we'll be sure to bring you here on the Mountaineer Insider. We try to book the best guests as humanly possible to get you the best top-notch insider information that we possibly can. And if you think that we're doing a good job of it, if you can, give us a five-star rating, write a comment. That only helps our metrics, that only bumps the pod up on the ladder, and it makes us, I guess, more mainstream here as we try to spread the good news of the old golden blue. Until next time, everybody, stay safe. Hail West Virginia. Let's go Mountaineers. This is Dan Zangrilli on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast across the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. The Mountaineer Insider has been presented exclusively by Segra, powering organizations of all sizes with state-of-the-art voice, data, and internet services. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUsports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.